I had something else. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, I don't want you to preach here tonight. I said, all right. So I was looking over, just trying to find some, get the leadership of the Lord, and over in here in Jeremiah, just for a few minutes tonight, I was aiming to preach a message on traveling on the right highway. But I reckon I'll just wait and maybe see if he'll let me preach this Sunday. I don't know. But here in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 17, we see where here in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is talking about the sign of the unmarred prophet. The unmarred prophet. Now, I think what he's probably looking at and probably relating to is on Job, because Job was marred. He was, well, you know the story there, but he was basically almost was marred to the fact that almost as much as Christ was, but he wasn't. Because we know that Christ, he did not even have a place where he could call his home or house where to lay his head and to rest. Because he was on a journey to where would not be no rest for him. And we do have, and we can go back and we can remember the words where this is talking about the rest, and says there's no rest for the weary. Now I think he was weary to the point that he won't give up, because he knew he had to do the Lord's work. But in saying all of that, here in the book of Jeremiah, we can see where there's some things here that Jeremiah is saying to us. But it says up here in verse 1 in chapter 17 of the book of Jeremiah. And it says, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven unto, it was graven unto the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altar. Wilt thy children remember thy altar and thy groves by the green tree upon the high hills? O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoils and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemy in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the water, and that spreadeth out thy roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the rein, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of the doing, as the partridge setteth on the eggs, and hatcheth them not. So he that getteth rich, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool, a glorious high throne. From the beginning is the place of sanctuary. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, once again, Father, for the reading of thy word. Now, Lord, the message, Father, that I thought that you wanted me to preach, Father, you spoke to me about not preaching that tonight. And Father, and I kept searching out, and Father, I landed here in the 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And Lord, and I need your help tonight. I need it tonight than I ever have before, Father. I need your help all the time, but tonight I truly need it, Father, because I do not know exactly what the message is going to be about. I'm asking, Father, that the Holy Spirit may speak through me and speak to my own heart and my own soul at this time. And go forth and speak to the hearts of the people. And Lord, I pray, Father, tonight, your blessings upon this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We see right here in the very first book, chapter 17, in the first verse, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. And with a point of a diamond, it is graven upon the table of thy heart and upon the horn of the altar. One thing about hearing the word of God, you'll find out that when an individual that has followed God, an individual that has walked for God, love God and everything, you can always look to the fact somewhere around them there's going to be an altar. He's going to have them set up an altar. Somebody's going to make up an altar for them to go and to where the man of God can go to and he can get in touch with God. He can get in touch with the Holy Spirit. We know that here in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit has not come on the scene as of yet. But we do know that God the Father, He is a spirit. We know that the Son of God is a spirit. And we know that The Holy Ghost is a spirit. We can see that, we can understand that. But we have also got to remember, and we've got to consider, that it's the Trinity of God. The Trinity of God started back in the book of Genesis. It went all the way through the Old Testament. And then it went through the New Testament. But the New Testament, when the church come about, that was when that Paul had taken, or no, excuse me, let me back up a minute. That is when Christ died for the church. The church is the individuals. The church is the Gentiles. The church is the Jews. The church is the whosoever will. But we know that Paul loved the church. We know that Luke loved the church. We know that Matthew and Mark and all the other disciples, they loved the church. They loved the church as much as they loved Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, it's when the church come about. That's when they come up and they spoke about the church. That's the same time, about the same time, right before that, that he brought about the deacons. And he brought about the deacons in the church around the same period. Peter was involved in all of this. There was also an altar there where they went to. They went to that altar daily. It may not have been where it was at a building that they would call a worship place or house of worship. It could be out there on a stump in the field. I know y'all can remember, some of y'all can remember, which I can't because I've never have. I mean, I wasn't saved back then, so I didn't go to church back then. But I've heard of a whole lot of people talking about it. A whole lot of saints of God has been talking about it. They talked about it through the writings and through the testimonies within the church, where they missed the old oak tree that would be on the side or out back of the church house, where the men would gather outside around the old oak tree and under the oak tree, and they would pray. And they would pray to the point, they would pray for God to come down in a special way and do something for the service. Would want God to come in and to save someone. Would want God to be there. And when they broke up the prayer and they started into the church, when they left the tree, the old oak tree there, or where they was praying on the outside, they were shouting. They were shouting because they had heard from God. Now, anytime that you hear from God, that's when we need to shout. Sometimes I can get up here and get to preaching, and I just feel that little cool breeze that'll come by and just kind of pat me on the face. And that's when I have the Holy Spirit has come on the scene. And that's when the Holy Spirit has got a hold of my heart. And we know that back then when they had the old oak tree, they would come in shouting, they would come in praising God. And when they had church outside, they brought church on the inside and it didn't quit. They continue on having church. Now, I don't remember that because I was not saved back then. I did not go to church back then. But I've heard a whole lot of people testifying to that fact. I don't know if you've ever experienced it or not. I don't know if you've ever been to maybe a revival or anything where the men would go outside and gather around an old oak tree or gather up under a shed or somewhere, and they would just pray. They would pray the power of God down. I was reading a book from D.L. Moody, one of D.L. Moody's books. And the book was about when he had started revivals and meetings and everything, when he had left his church there. And when he went out, and he made sure it was the Lord that when he went out and started holding revivals, because he said, Lord, I cannot go out and hold revivals and then come back here to the church and be the pastor of the people. I cannot do it because I have so many people. So the Lord burdened him down about leaving the church and going out and doing evangelistic work. The first revival he had, he took on the meeting, he prayed about it, he prayed and he read and he prayed and he read and he saw that God and everything and made sure that was a message for the hour. And he went to that church. And he came in. The church was packed out because it was D.L. Moody, a man of God. But it was packed out. They had singing. And when he got up there to preach, he stood up there on the roster and behind the pulpit and everything, and he told the people to turn to such and such book. And he did, and he read the scripture. He reread it again. In the book, it says that he reread the verses of scripture that he read that he was going to preach on that night 7 times. 7 times. And then when he got through reading it, he prayed and he asked God to help him. He said, God, he goes, right now, I don't know what to do. I'm here. I don't know what to do. Would you help me? And he preached. He preached for 35 minutes, he said. Nobody come to the altar. He was disappointed. And he went home. And when he went back home, he had two or three more, I forgot how many more revival scheduled. And he called the pastors of them churches. And he said, Pastor, I've got to reschedule. He says, I've got to reschedule for you for next month. Then he went to the next one, called the next one, and he says, Pastor, I hate calling and saying this, but I've got to reschedule your meeting for the month after what we're going to plan on. He done it to every last one that he was supposed to go to and hold revival. And he said for 7 complete days, he went into his study where he had his Bible, his books and everything. He said he went in there and he prayed. He prayed all day. He prayed all night for 7 days. And he cried. He cried. He wept. He says, God, I don't want to ever feel that way again. So God, what must I do? I know that this is what you want me to do. You want me to be an evangelist. You want me to go out here and preach the gospel to the whosoever will. And he said he heard from God. He says, from now on, when you set up a revival, when you call the others, you ask them, says, have you got at least 4 or 5, maybe 3 or 4 men in the church that could go downstairs in your basement and pray for the service while I'm preaching? He says, yeah, I think I can get that many. He said, but I know they want to hear you. He said, you don't have to get the same one for every night. You can get 4 or 5 Monday night. You can get somebody else for Tuesday, somebody else for... He says, but if you can't get them, it's no need of me coming. Because I'm not going to do nothing but hurt the church. So he went, and the pastor said, he says, I have got 9 people, 9 men downstairs that have been praying for you since an hour before. They're going to pray for you the whole time you're preaching. So he did. He said that night, he said he got up and he preached the message. He preached what God wanted him to preach. And he says he had got to his last point. People started coming to the altar. Some people started coming and weeping. He said some of them started coming and they were sobbing. He said that night we had 5 individuals get saved. And he says, in the book it says, I cannot tell you how many rededications was there. I don't know. But it was right many. Long story. But when he was leaving that night, he was standing at the back door shaking people's hands. And there's this elderly gentleman sitting about the 3rd pew from the back row. on the right hand side, he said. All the other people shook his hand and everything, and he noticed that elderly man still sitting down. He didn't know if maybe his legs was weak or whatever. But he said the more he walked back out, the more he seen the smile. The smile got bigger and bigger. He said, "I got something I want to ask you." He said, "Well, can you wait about 5 minutes? I got about 5 minutes, maybe shaking some more people's hands," and said, "I'll come back and I'll talk to you." He said, that elderly gentleman, he said he was, had to be in his 90s, asked him. He said, "How in the world can you get up out and start the way you started, as hard as you preached when you started? And you preached almost an hour and you ended up the same way. By prayer." By prayer. He says prayer moves obstacles. Prayer moves mountains. Prayer does the job. He says, because you're pleading with God to do something. And he says, "I still don't see how you do it." He said, "Well, okay." He said, "I got something I want to show you." The pastor of the church got Brother Moody and got this other gentleman. They went down the stairs in the basement. Way back in the back. Way taller, a whole lot longer than this building right here, but way back in the back was the furnace room. It had the old boiler type furnaces. It went back out. Didn't open the door into the furnace room. They didn't have to. They heard the men still praying. Still seeking God. He says, "That's the reason I can do what I'm doing. Because I've got other people praying for me." He says, "That's the reason I can do what I'm doing. That's the reason I can do what I'm doing. Because I know I've got some people praying for me. I don't know who all they are, but I know one. And that's Jesus, because the Bible tells me so. That Jesus is praying for me. So I know I got him on my side. I know he's lifting me up to God. But look at all the other individuals. I don't know who they are. I don't need to know who they are. Only one I need to know is the Lord Jesus." But I'm going to read these. I got two other verses I want to read. What is it? No, it's well by three, I reckon. Verse 5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." A man that has forgotten about God. Don't want to have anything to do with God anymore. That sounds like today. People today have forgotten about God. They have forgotten about all the things that God has done for them. They forgot about him. They don't want to have nothing else to do with him. And it says, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched land places in the wilderness, in salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. How many times is that in the Bible? I don't know. I hadn't looked it up, but I'm going to. It's got to be over 100 times. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. But it says right here in verse 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the water, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. That is speaking of somebody that has sought right God and is grounded in God. Grounded in God just like that tree. That tree is planted, and that tree takes up root. And after that tree has grown just a little bit, with your might, you cannot go out there and pull that tree up with your hands. Why? Because that tree, the roots have dug down. Had dug down so far, it won't let go. God the Father, he allowed his Son to come leave heaven and to come to earth. And when he did, his Son had left the portals of glory and came down to where the men and the women was living among sin, where sin was rampant. That's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. Because right now, sin is rampant. Not just in the United States of America, but around the world. Sin is rampant. Sin is just out here. It's just going out here and devouring for who it's going to get a hold to next. And we got to be grounded in the Word of God. If we're not grounded in the Word of God, somebody can snatch us up out of the ground where we was planted. I want to stay grounded. I want to stay with Jesus. And our roots spread out. Talking about being spread out, that's when we are that tree, and we've been grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're grafted into Him and our roots, we're so grounded that our roots is dug way down. That they've tried to snatch us out. They've tried their very best to get us to do sin and to turn from God. But we haven't turned from God. Why? Because we've went back to the book. We've reread some stuff, and then our roots go a little deeper. We get a little more grounded. And after we're grounded, and after our roots have been planted, we spread out that way. That's when we can go and spread the gospel. That's what I believe that means. That's
That's what I believe that Jeremiah right here is saying, that he can go about now spreading the gospel. He can go about right spreading God's love to the whosoever. Spreading. We're spreading out our roots when we go out and witness to someone. They don't get saved today. Their roots have not taken hold. He's just sitting there being dormant. But we keep on going back. We keep on going back. We keep on praying for them. We keep on asking God to touch the heart, soften the heart, mellow the heart. So when we do go, the next time we do go, that that heart will be so mellow and so softened that when the Word of God touches them, when the Word of God is spoken, it will just penetrate. And they'll come up and they'll say, well, how's the church doing? They just ask you that. They doing that to say, well, maybe I can get them on my back right now. I can get them started talking about something else now. I've already asked them about the church. How's the church doing? Oh, church doing fine. Doing great. Church would do much, much better if he was there. And the Lord loves you. Guess what? And I love you also. Spreading out the roots. Spreading out the roots. Spreading the word around. Spreading the word around. We need to spread it around to people. So when it does take root, they said, well, oh man, that preacher, he didn't touch the nerve now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't me that touched the nerve, it was the Holy Spirit that touched the nerve. Mm-hmm. But something within them spoke to them. They said, you know, Sunday morning. They come back Sunday night because they was what's the right word? Inquisitive or whatever you want to say. That they was astonished at what was going on. That they had heard something that they thought they'd heard before, but it hadn't penetrated the heart. But now it had penetrated their heart and has got a hold to their attention. They had to come back on Sunday night. Mm-hmm.
Then they say, preacher, you know, I really enjoyed that message tonight. I really did. You know, I believe you was kind of speaking to me tonight. No, I won't speak into him. It was the Holy Spirit. Right there. When the Holy Spirit gets out of an individual's heart, he won't let go. He will not let go. He will not let go. But you just better hold on for the ride. And you might well let go of what you've been hanging on. Because he's not going to let go. Because he's got your attention now. Spread out the word. By the river, which is the land I hear. where people are here just walking and talking and not see when he cometh, but a leaf shall be green. Her leaf shall be green. You know what I believe Jeremiah speaking about right there? Is the church is the, because I believe that's what he's saying, the church. The church's leaf. The church as a whole. Has experienced something that they've been waiting for, because the leaf is not brown. It's not turning colors. Not turning brown like the tree is dying up. But her leaf shall be green. I believe that means that the Lord God Almighty has just touched the church in a way that when the people come in and they come into this house and they come in and want to hear something special from God, and they just can't, yeah, they may sit around before and they just sit in the pews and everything. Some of them may cry within them. Somebody may just lift up a little holy hands like that. But when the Lord comes in, when he blesses, and when you see the green leaf, and that green leaf means of growth also, I believe that it will grow. And is that green leaf growing? That means the tree is growing. That means the individual, the Christian, the church is growing spiritually and physically. Shall not be careful in the years of the drought, neither shall thou cease from yielding fruit. They're not giving up. Because if fruits, they continue yielding fruit, they continue bearing fruit, they could continue bearing fruit. The love of God, where God loves us, and we'll experience that love in such a way now that when somebody comes in, and before if they'd have come in, so you know something, they done me wrong. They done the church wrong. They just up and left the church. Just up and left the church. They knew that we was down. They knew we didn't have no pastor. That's not when the people need to leave the church. That's when the people need to be united together stronger than they ever have before. But you know, the next time we see them and they come in, they say, God's love. Did you know the love that we have inside of us for our family? The love that I have for my wife and my daughter? You know where it comes from? God.
You know where the love comes from? Well, I love this church. I love each one of you. It comes from God. It didn't come from me. It comes from God. God instilled it within me. What I'm trying to say tonight. We just need to. We done already got ground. We just need to go on and allow him to say, hey, Lord, I surrender everything that I have to you. It's yours anyhow. But I'm willing to give it all to you. Until we all do that. We've got to do that before God will do anything. And I've gave God everything that I have. I've gave him my wife. I've gave him my daughter. I gave him my home. I gave him my finances. I've gave everything to him. And he's took care of me. He has took care of me. He's took care of my family. I don't understand how. But come on, Brother Bill, I'll say this. I don't understand how, and I don't understand why. But one thing I done come to realize in the 35 years I've been saved, it ain't no need to argue with him. Ain't no need to argue with God. God's going to come out on top anyhow. So I just said, well, God, okay. That's what you say then. Thank you. That's all I can say. Just thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we thank you for what you've given us tonight, Lord. I thank you for speaking to my own heart, Father. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll just be with each one of us this week as we go out, and Father, as we meet people, Lord, that we'll share something with them that will bring some kind of encouragement to the people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.